With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is your 1973 podcast in the last episode of season three. It's been a three-year ride, been a lot of places, brought new faces on the show, did a lot of great things. I think before we get into the movie review, I want to ask the panel, 3 years of a podcast. Thomas, thoughts on the first 3 years?
Yeah, where's Chris? We didn't get any ransom note or anything. What happened?
No clue. Ed, thoughts on 3 years into this run?
It's certainly gone we've gone quite far from Flags with Friends, to say the least. I really appreciate the fact that since I'm very far away from all you fellows now, it's just nice to know that I get to see you guys for about an hour and a half every week. And that means a lot. So very thankful for that.
Bradford, you didn't start with us, but you've been a big part of the show. You got your own segment, bring a lot to the table. Very thankful to have you on. Thankful that Ed brought you on. Thoughts on what we do?
I didn't start with y'all, clearly, but now I can't get rid of y'all. but we started, it was 30 minutes, and it was like, wham, bam, thank you, man. See you next week. And now we're up to like an hour, and we have like a pretty wide variety of topics. So I like it, man. It's fun.
Scotty, on again, off again, friend of the show, buddy, outside of the show. Thoughts on 3 years of this ride?
Well, no, I think it's been amazing. In this last year, you guys have killed it. Like, the guests you've had, amazing. You took it up a level. And to see that kind of upward trajectory, you guys are doing awesome, and I'd love to join.
All right, Phantom, I'm going to lead you in on this one. A lot of arm twisting, Wanja from the origin, right from the get-go. Anti-podcast, took about 75 episodes to get you on, missed probably all of year one. Thoughts on where we are now?
I was gonna say, since I showed up on the scene, we're dropping like a rock. I don't know. Might be me. Might have to go on a hiatus and boost up the numbers.
The money is in Rey Mysterio with the mask, not without the mask.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. Shaggy, on again, off again, personality of the show, friend of the show, thoughts on coming on with this three-year run?
Yeah, this is great. Like, I'm glad you let me be the jobber on the show. And
Steve Lombardi, you are.
Steve Lombardi, I am, baby. No, it's been great. Like, I agree with Scott. Like, this past year, the guests you've had on there, I thought it was amazing. Like, it was pretty incredible, some of those interviews you guys did. I was in awe listening to them, actually.
Yeah, I have.
And then you go back to talking to us.
Well, I have a lot of fun doing it. It is very time consuming during the week. It's for the greater good, I think. I think, like I was telling Tom before we got going, The hottest part's behind us. The traction is there. We've made some really good friends with people that, have been good to us and given us their time for, coming on and talking to, regular guys that just, love whatever sport you're into, and very thankful for that. And, more good things to come for the fourth upcoming year. So, Let me say thanks to everybody that's been on, and just hope keep growing a little bit, and don't be freaking cheap, buy a shirt, damn it. Ed,
Well, that's a hell of a lead-in. I mean, now I'm going to turn into a reader like Jim Rome says. You know what I mean? Hey there,
I thought
podcast
you would jump on
fans.
that a little quick, Ed, but CT is an MF.
Hey, it is. It certainly is, man. I think it was 14 signs of light in my life.
Yeah,
So,
that's why you can't pee next to a microwave.
You can count them, they ain't real.
that's guesstimation. Probably more than that,
I might be responsible for one of those CTE injuries.
That is a distinct possibility. I do believe that you took your helmet and put it underneath my chin once.
Ed,
Just
you're
saying.
killing time now, Ed.
Yeah, I
Brad
know.
likes to keep
Hey,
this under an hour.
but you interrupt me, so stop it. I mean, don't make me tase you through the phone. All right. All right. Hey there, podcast fans. You ready to show off your love for the 1973 podcast? We've got over 20 different designs of t-shirts and hoodies that capture the essence of classic stuff, whether you're a fan of the show or just love that retro feel. We've got something for everyone, from bold prints to your subtle nods to your favorite personalities. Each piece is made with top-notch quality. That timeless style that you create, perfect for lounging at home or making a statement out and about. And don't wait, our collection is flying off the shelves faster than you can say. Andy, what does it say?
Stop being a bitch, buy a shirt.
Yeah, there you go. Visit us now at bonfire.com and grab your favorites before they're gone. And check us out at the 1973 Podcast T-shirt store on YouTube. Just click the link below.
All right. So one watch. Everybody knows the rules. The pick was Shaggy's. So Shaggy, tell us everybody at home that watches religiously every week what you picked.
This week we picked The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension. Now, the reason I picked it, like with Soul Man, how like, oh, when I was a kid, I loved this movie. And then how bad it was watching Soul Man now. I apologize for picking this fucking movie. It's pretty bad.
You bet your ass you better apologize for that shit.
I'm literally thinking, like, how the fuck did I like this as a kid? This is fucking horrible.
You
So
were like
stars
eight.
Peter Weller, the man we know as RoboCop. We got John Lithgow as the bad guy, whatever his weird name was, whatever it was. Then we also got like Ellen Barkin and Jeff Goldblum and stuff, and some other people you might recognize from some of the movies in the 80s. Yeah, sorry. Sorry I picked this one. It was fucking horrible. I'm gonna go with like a 5-7. It was fucking bad.
All right, I'm gonna kick it to the Professor Thomas. What do you got?
This was bad. Didn't like it when I was a kid. Hated it even more when I was as an adult. But only thing I want to add is, fun fact, Jamie Lee Curtis was in this movie, and it got cut. She was
Oh,
they had a
dude.
scene where she was Buckaroo Banzai's mother, and they cut it. It's only in the director's cut, I guess. So, but that would have been the best part of the movie, a young Jamie Lee Curtis right there. But I thought I was going to have the lowest score. I've got a 4. I thought it was terrible.
Scotty, you just watched it right before we went on. Tell us what
Yeah.
you thought.
So, Shaggy, I wore this shirt for you. I'm
I
judging you.
understand completely.
What a piece of shit that was. Oh my God. It was painful. Painful to watch. I was like, I gotta watch this. I want to be up to it. But like the Olympic opening, all that stuff. I mean, I had a hard time even laughing. The funniest line was, do you smell electricity? Like that was the only thing that made me laugh. Like that was the only thing that made me laugh. Clancy Brown, who's the badass guard from Shawshank, he was like the only thing I was kind of interested in and kind of seeing him there. Yes, it was a lot of great actors. It's almost as if they all arrived and they said, "Oh, by the way, they won't let us use the script, so let's make some shit up." I love the fact that this was supposed to be like in New Jersey or Connecticut or something, and you could clearly tell it was California. It was like it was bullshit. So honestly, I gotta go. I gotta go 3-8.
I'm trying to figure out how they still have a cult following. I'm like, who the fuck's still watching this shit?
Yeah, exactly.
Brad, I'm going to tag you in. You're next.
Don't judge me, man, because I like movies like this.
I knew it was up his alley.
I love cult classic sci-fi comedies. This movie was just like it checked all the boxes. It's like they watched a lot of 80s like sci-fi films and added like every trope from every movie into it. I mean, it had aliens, it had space travel, it had interdimension travel, it had his hot rod jet car a la Mad Max. So there's like elements of Star Trek in this, elements of Doctor Who. It had Christopher Lloyd in it, for crying out
Big
loud.
booty.
Yeah, he kept saying some weird shit the whole movie. RoboCop just absolutely blazing on the trumpet, son. I mean, come on, how do you not like that part? So there's a lot about this movie that just was like very nostalgic to me, because this is the first time I've seen it. I think I was 2 years old when this movie came out. Very nostalgic to me, and the fact that like I love cult movies, I love cult classics. This from an era in Hollywood where they just made movies, man. There wasn't 3 hours of CGI bullshit. there were no political agendas inserted into this movie where they shoved some agenda down our throats. It was just a fucking movie, man. I liked it, man. I really did. I think they made a video game out of it at some point, which I don't remember either.
That'd
Anyway,
be Atari.
Was it Atari?
It had to be. Did
Had to
84?
have
Had to
been,
be.
because when did the regular Nintendo come out?
Well, don't forget they had ColecoVision and
Oh
Intellivision in
yeah,
between
I
the
did have
two,
the
so
Intellivision. Maybe it was one.
maybe, I don't know, but I had fun with this, man. It really reminded me of that era, like the Last Starfighter type shit, man, which I love that movie. So don't even start dogging that one. I'm gonna give it like a 7, because I just had fun with it, man. I enjoyed it. I liked it. I'm sorry. I liked it, man. This
I
movie's
knew it's up
right up
your
my alley.
alley.
Yeah, right up my alley, man.
All right. Phantom, do you want the tag or do you want me to take it?
Yeah, you can give me the hot tag. I'll take it.
Okay, go ahead.
Bradford.
I can't help it, man. I'm
Stop
sorry.
it. This is the perfect example of why movies need to be longer than an hour and a half.
It's the
Because this
perfect
shit had no
runtime.
plot. This thing was brutal. I am willing to give 1.5 because of John Boutte. That was the funniest part of the movie, when he freaking gives throws the finger in the background when the guy is always telling him to shut up. But no, this thing was garbage. Like, watching it like when I was 11, not so bad. Now it was like you're watching it wide awake. I'm one to fall asleep, I'll admit that. Stayed awake the whole time, but I felt like I had fallen asleep by different parts of it, because I didn't know what the hell was going on. Just how freaking shitty the plot was. Overall, I'm going super. This thing makes War of the Worlds like an Academy Award-winning movie, which they did actually mention War of the Worlds during the movie, which kind of made me laugh when I was thinking of how shitty it was. I'm going 2.2 all time. Like, it's an all-time fucking worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
All right. So, give you a little backstory on my thoughts with the progression of watching this movie. I must have seen two movies a weekend growing up. Going to the actual theater before the movie store, and this movie slipped right by me. I had many chances to watch this movie over the years. Never watched it until Shaggy picked it. I said, well, here's the point of no return. I'm finally gonna see this movie.
Break a cherry.
This fucking thing was dog shit. This awful. I know why I've been avoiding this movie for years, and this is a reason. I can't add anything to it that you guys haven't said. As far as the best thing about this movie was the cast, all-star 80s cast. This movie was a big budget Hollywood movie shot like a trauma film. This is like toxic Avenger type stuff, but that's a
Which is why I loved it.
low budget movie studio stuff, but I can't believe that how bad this movie is to have a cult following. A Big Trouble in Little China, I haven't watched it in a while, but I'm a big fan of that movie.
Love that movie.
Love that movie.
This movie is not that movie. Not even close. I am going to have to score this the lowest I've ever scored a movie. 3.7. And that's only because of the cast. This movie's terrible. I'll probably never, ever watch this again. I wouldn't even let my kids watch this movie. That's how bad this movie is. It's terrible.
And, if I let my kids watch this and they said they like it, I might have to kick them out.
Oh no!
Just give him an excuse.
I'll put him on the streets, Brad. Put him on the streets.
Put him on. I didn't think it was that bad, man.
Boy, you did not come from my loins.
They had such a hard time with the movie studio making this film that during the film that randomly there was like a watermelon in a vending machine, and they kept guy every time they sold it, somebody would look at it, and the guy would say, "Oh, I'll explain it later." Well. It was a running gag because they realized nobody from the studio was paying attention anymore and didn't give a fuck about the movie. So they just threw it in there to see if anyone would know.
Terrible. Terrible.
You know what's terrible? The guy that directed this movie wrote Big Trouble in Little China.
Oof, I did not know that.
On that watermelon.
Well, he had time to get a shit flick out of the way before he knew.
That's right.
Yeah.
Everybody drops a deuce before they get a good one.
Yeah, that was the nugget before the good one came.
Speaking of nuggets, Edward, time to wrap up this shit show.
Nugget.
And guess what? Shit show, that's what it is. If ADHD was a movie, this would be it.
That's why I like this so much, man. It kept my attention.
It did not keep my attention. I texted Shaggy. What time did I text you today? What the hell is this?
I was at work. I don't know. 2 o'clock? 3 o'clock? Yeah.
2, 3 o'clock. I came in from work and I found this thing on for free on TV, and I started watching it. And I'm like, this thing. You know what the best part of this movie was? When it ended. It was that bad.
What was up with the thing at the end? Thing is there like a sequel to this?
There's a sequel. Yeah. They never made it.
They never made it.
They never made it.
I know why.
The aliens floating around in a freaking piece of coral. I mean, come on, that's what it looked like.
Those things were the spaceship looked like Alf's nose.
Yeah, it looked like a piece of coral that was like floating around the ocean. I mean, come on now. And I mean, the first part of the movie, when like gets in the spaceship that looks like he has a dually with those mirror things on the double wheels in the back. I mean, Brad Scotty would probably be able to tell you about those too. Me too, because I lived in the south. So I mean, you know, Scotty, you know, you being up in the snow, and Brad and I living in the south. You know, horrible movie. I'm gonna give it 3.9.
All right. I was only thinking Brad likes us now because he's going to tie this into the next tinfoil hat because you've got RoboCop. They kept talking about John O'Connor, which is John Connor, you know, freaking. Then you've got John Terry and the Hendersons.
I thought this was a prequel to Back in the Future.
Yeah, and then Back in the Future, right? It's like, all right, this is right up your alley.
You got Jeff Goldblum dressed as like a zesty cowboy.
I don't understand the rock band part of it either.
RoboCop running around.
Leave the Hong Kong Cavaliers alone.
Hey, running around in a bow tie.
Just because you're 1,500 miles away doesn't mean I'm scared of you, you know.
By the way, Ellen Barkin looked good. I forgot she wasn't 70 in every TV show she's in.
How do you not like the trumpet scene? She's old. He killed it with the trumpet. That made the whole movie.
A lot of saxophones.
Come on.
That first movie.
Come on.
A lot of saxophones.
Thomas,
the women in that movie had shorter hair than the men, too.
Hey, it was the 80s. The 80s.
Only instrument that was being played during that movie was a skin flute.
I just want to let you know, are you sitting down?
Who?
You, for the score.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Hit us, Professor.
4.3.
Oh, way too high.
Yeah. It's a 6.2 on IMDb. Give me a break.
That's too high.
That's for the three people that probably watched it.
Hey, did y'all catch in the rock and roll scene though? Even the band members were make because remember like he stops it because that girl was crying, right?
Yeah.
And so even the band members keep like breaking the third wall and looking at the camera and they're being like, this makes no sense.
That movie rated that high because everybody else that watched it OD'd on acid.
That's why it's cult following right there.
Ed?
It's also before the internet, right? So, like, people had to search that And it's probably all the family members of those people. And they still couldn't give it a good rating.
Oof, bad. Bad.
Bad.
All right, Ed. We're waiting.
Yeah, keep you on your toes.
Well, I'm going to break the time limit barrier on this one. Okay? I'm just going to start that right off right now. Okay?
Jesus Christ.
If I hear any bitching, I don't want
to. Documentary, I'm shutting this fucker off.
Nope.
I'm out.
Yeah, don't make me pimp slap you through the screen.
3-hour documentary.
Nope. Nope.
What we got?
Nope. It is a classic all-time movie, okay?
Titanic.
Nope. Apocalypse Now, Redux.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent.
I'm down.
Time to bring a good movie back.
And I'm down, is, you want to know why I picked this one? Because all of these movies lately have been sucking.
But it's not the regular version. It's the one that they...
Redux.
Yep. It's like 4 hours long, Brad. So get ready.
Nah, fuck that. All right. Brad, see you next time.
Halfway through, you think you're in Vietnam.
Brad, do not make me drive 3 hours in Ren and Stimpy you to make you watch this thing.
Still shorter than the fucking movie. Is it really 4 hours long?
Yeah, it's long.
It's long, Brad.
But you see, Lawrence Fishburne, his first role at 14 years old.
Not doing that. I'll watch it on YouTube. I'll get the highlights on YouTube.
Cliff Notes.
Where can I find it? I don't want to pay for it.
It's $3.99.
All right.
Charge it to your work account.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. If I pay for Soul Man, I'll pay for that.
That's what Brad, 1 hour every day at work. That's it.
Yep. Yep.
You'll be done by Thursday.
I never thought Soul Man would be an upgrade to this movie.
Right? Yeah.
Soul Man, I miss Soul Man. I didn't mind Soul Man.
No.
Hey, they all can't be Dolomites.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty good, too.
That was a fun movie.
It was good.
Yeah.
That was a fun one.
So, One Watch, everybody knows the rules. Next week, homework is Apocalypse Now, the redo. So, Thomas, we're going to move on to Brad's segment of the show, The Road to WrestleMania. Real quick, Brad, there's not much going on.
There's not.
Okay. What do you got? Anything good?
No.
Okay. So we're gonna pass this week.
Did you get some of this shit?
We're gonna
pass. Did you see that The Rock's daughter left WWE?
Yeah. Nobody's sad about that.
No.
As far as genetics go, The Rock got the big muscles and the charisma, and Ava got big teeth. So
hard to look at.
Hard to look at, exactly.
Yeah.
No personality.
That Punk Roman segment was fucking good, though.
That shit was fire. I couldn't believe how hard they went on that one, man. That was good. So, but really nothing else exciting, I think, has happened. SmackDown's going on right now. Cody and McIntyre beefing, the usual shit. A bunch of people chanting fuck ice during an MGF match on AEW. So, hey, don't say nothing important's happened because your boy Joe Hendry is now the NXT champion. We believe in Joe Hendry, fellas.
Brad,
give my man his credit.
We're gonna get Scotty a t-shirt.
Believe in the 1973 podcast.
Yeah.
The only other thing I thought that was cool was that interaction with Seth Rollins and MJF at that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
I thought they were going to start doing that Macho Man like handshake thing.
Oh, yeah. Like the
Seth,
Mega Powers. Like,
put his hand up.
Yeah.
And then they didn't do it. Oh, come on, man. Yep. Perfect opportunity.
Yeah. Didn't do it. Lost.
Nope.
No, nobody writing good stuff for him. That's why.
Well, hey, man. AEW, though, they're kind of cooking right now. The Tommaso Ciampa came in, won a belt. And then they, Andrade, who we thought was going to kind of like be a nobody. They've really working an angle with him, flirting with OnlyFans models on the sideline.
That's good.
Did you see what the girl tweeted during the show? They had a, I don't know, it was somewhere during the show, she tweeted something about, this is so fake.
But yo, it's getting popularity, man. It's getting ratings. It's getting eyes on the product, dude. It's like, Attitude Era, WWF, you know, versus WCW days, man. Like they're pushing the envelope, and WWE has just got Io Sky botching a diving off through the ropes and banging her head on the floor. So it's like the shit product now, man.
Hey,
like,
listen, you'll know the wrestling's hot again if these guys are watching it, Brad. So yeah, when they start watching it, it'll be, you know,
yeah,
it'll be 1986 again.
There you go. Yep.
That's it.
But everything you described sounds like fucking Buckaroo Banzai, the wrestling match.
No wonder we liked wrestling so much back then. The freaking movies were garbage.
So, yeah, not much to talk about, though.
We'll move on to the shitty pick segment of the show. Thomas, you're up.
All righty. 1973 podcast is brought to you by Elite Hockey Company. At Elite Hockey, it's all about the game. Whether you're a seasoned pro, a weekend warrior, or lacing up for the very first time, they've got you covered. From top-tier gear and custom equipment to apparel, live event experiences, and full team support, Elite Hockey is built by hockey players for hockey players. This isn't just a brand, it's a community. A place where players of every level can stay sharp, play hard, and live hockey. So if you want to elevate your game, support a company that supports the hockey world, and join a movement that's growing fast, check out leethockey.com today and tell them the crew from the 1973 podcast sent you. All right. My shitty pick. I saved it from last week. We're going to talk some Super Bowl. My Super Bowl pick this week. I've been kind of flip-flopping all week. I've been doing a little bit of – I'm going to go with the Patriots in a very close game. I'm going 2016. I just think that the tight end – the Seahawks play that zone. I think Hunter Henry's going to have a big game. And my one little caveat is watch for the fullback for the Patriots, Tonga, to catch a pass, possibly for a touchdown. Mike Vrabel, when he played, has two Super Bowl touchdowns in that position. I wouldn't be surprised if they try it one time against Seattle.
I think I saw something that said Vrabel's got like 12 receptions. They were all like touchdowns.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
What do you guys think? What are your predictions?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I might go a little bit lower. I think it might be like a 17-13, 13-10 kind of game, Pats.
I'm going Seattle 35-17.
What?
Oh, yeah. I think they're smoking them. Smoking them.
They're not playing the Blackhawks.
His Dallas smoking is coming up.
Man, who do you think they're playing? The Cowboys?
The offense I've been seeing coming out of the Patriots. Now they got a team that can actually put points on the boards, and they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, well, the thing about it, like, the Patriots' defense is pretty awesome. So, you know, there's that, too.
Just yeah,
like,
when you're finally playing, you got Stroud throwing a ball up in the air for free interceptions. It makes the defense look real good.
Well, let's say they're finally not playing in snowy, shitty weather, so we'll see how that goes, too.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point.
May hasn't done shit in the playoffs.
You're not wrong on that one. Well, part of it is just like you can't throw the ball if you don't have any time because the whole left side of the line can't block for shit.
Or you're in a fucking blizzard.
Seattle can bring it defensively.
So the thing about Shaggy, the blizzard has nothing to do with it. Like the left side of the line can't block.
You can't fucking throw anything. Well, no footing.
The way they stop that is slow those guys down, is use their aggressiveness against them. You either do a quarterback RPO coming around the corner or throw a few screens to the running back. Remind
you, I agree with you. Just use a fullback. Every time they use a fullback, they're going 4 or 5 yards. Use a fullback.
The only chance they got is if Donald lays an egg, which
I don't listen to fucking Cowboy fans.
Could happen.
So I think Darnold's going to see the ghosts again. He's going to see the ghosts. And honestly,
throw the old helmet on.
Drinking the dirty water.
Yeah. No. I'm totally going to claim Homer here. I honestly, their bats are battle tested right now, right? They went through the toughest defenses. Mays got his ass kicked. He's seen it. Campbell, yeah, left side is a mess. They're going to use Ramonde to kind of chip block, all of that sort. I have faith in it, but then again, like I'm gonna like put all my account on FanDuel on this game, right? I'm gonna throw it, and I'm probably gonna get my ass wiped. But I think the Pats gonna do it. This is a destiny. Like they went from 4 in 13. This is just a fabulous story. And the best part, every single person outside of New England and Branko want the Seahawks to win. So it's our time. It's our time just to give a fuck you, and a fuck you to Rob Kraft, and a fuck you to Bill Belichick, that they've literally been kind of doing to us. Little revenge time, boys. We're back.
This is the game where Drake May turns into Drew Bledsoe.
He turns into a bad thing.
He's the best. Wait. Patriot Drew Bledsoe or Cowboy Drew Bledsoe?
We lost because of him.
Patriot Drew Bledsoe or Cowboy Drew Bledsoe?
Oh, we got him at his worst, dude. Prime Drew.
Bradford, you jumping in on this?
I'm gonna say I think it's gonna be a close game. I think it's gonna be closer than we think, but I think that it's going to be Seattle, 24, 21-ish, something in that range. It's going to be very close. I think the Seattle defense is absolutely elite. They have absolutely shined this season. They can score on defense. They can score on special teams. And when you have a special teams unit that scores, a defense that can score, your quarterback don't have to do shit except not turn the ball over. And Sam Darnold has been elite in that respect. Through the 25-26 playoffs, pass rating of 122.4, 470 yards and 4 touchdowns. What more do you want, man? And he's done that against some pretty decent defenses too. So I think the defense is going to be key for both teams, but I think Seattle's offense is a little bit better than New England's offense, and that is going to make a big difference. Jackson Smith and Jigba, that dude is elite caliber wide receiver, bro.
And they take him out of the ball game.
I don't think you can take that dude out of the ball game, man.
They're gonna bracket. They're gonna bracket him, man.
That guy finds a way to get open on every single play. Like, it is insane how good he is. Like, he finds a way to get open in situations where you're absolutely right, Ed. He should not be open. He gets open, and I think he is gonna have a heck of a game, dude. So. I'm excited for it, man. I don't know what we're doing on Sunday, but I'm excited for it.
You know, the
hasn't had a big chance they haven't been tested defensively this playoffs. Rams, Panthers, they're not the best defenses, right? So I think we've got the edge there. I think we got a better defense than they're prepared for.
I think y'all going to be big mad because Bill Belichick didn't get in the Hall of Fame and you lose a Super Bowl.
Well,
I'm going to Terry got in.
The big
y'all would be big mad.
The thing up here is right now the fans hate Tom Brady more than they hate Seattle because Brady was on the radio and he wouldn't pick a winner in the games. You literally have people calling up the talk shows saying to tear his statue down.
It was the quote. I don't have a dog in the
dog in his fight.
Yes,
but he doesn't. He's a fucking Raiders owner now. He can't fucking say yeah, go Pats. Oh, by the way, own the Raiders.
Yes, he could too.
All the turns have tabled.
I'm just gonna say this. Just
like, do you hear what you're? Go ahead.
What a horse's patoot! If anybody that calls in and says Tom Brady rip his stuff down, what a bunch of shenanigans that is! Shut up,
fucking pink hats, pink hats.
Like, bottom line is, do you think that for 1 second, Brady loves the media just like everybody else, and this is all about getting more pub for him? And the thing about it is, come on now. You know, because he is like RKK's like boy. And the thing about it is, and we all know that. And the thing about it is, however, funny story though, if he was truly your boy, why didn't you give him 5 or 10% of the Patriots instead of the Raiders? Just asking, you know?
The son's got that.
Well, I mean. So
they're saying the comments out there is that he's trying to hire, Clint Kubiak from Seattle?
Yep.
And so he doesn't want to say anything out there to kind of upset that guy who they're expecting to be their coach. And then I think he might also be pissed off because there's Max Crosby said, hey, I want to get out of Oakland. And he's been very, very fond of Vrabel in his comments. So that would be a wonderful addition.
But the funny thing about it is just like, honestly, the Patriots are dumb if they don't do that deal with Max Crosby because they have cap space to do it. And the thing about it, the Patriots were in a total rebuild anyway. So bottom line is that the Raiders have so much cap space, and I mean they're only paying $50 million a year for coaches right now for the next 3 to 4 years. I mean, they're still paying Gruden right now.
Ed, when have you ever seen the Patriots spend money on a player to come in?
Corey Dillon, Randy Moss.
Milt Williams has
Randy
got the
Moss,
best
they were getting
defender
fourth
they
round
got.
pick.
Milt Williams, the guy playing defensive line for him right now.
They don't spend no money, dude.
Andy's trying to buzz in.
Go ahead,
Yeah,
Andy.
we're
Hey, I don't
gonna let we're
usually.
gonna let you talk during the football.
Yeah, I'll let you talk
Can't
all
tell if you're trying to
the
buzz in or crank your
football.
hog. What are you
Do they
trying to
play with a
do?
ball?
You got six people ignoring your ass right now. What's going on?
I'll over here cranking the hog on live TV.
take I'm trying to jump in here for 200, Alex. I was all over these conspiracy theories this week, and I don't have any dogs in this fight. I mean, I locally, I would like to see the Patriots win just for historical reasons, being from the area, whatever. But either way, I don't give two shits. But listen, I'm gonna give a prediction based on a conspiracy theory that I saw.
Ooh.
You know, I say the football's fixed. It's fixed more now than ever.
100%.
17-14, Seattle.
Weird score, but why?
We'll
What's
see.
the conspiracy?
Why Seattle?
What's the conspiracy?
What's the
The conspiracy is
Cleveland.
it's already
He picked
predetermined.
Cleveland
So
last year.
that's the score that's predetermined.
Oh, I thought you saw something that
No,
make it.
just
Oh. Or
is
the
this
whole
from the
thing.
two? Hey, is this from the two guys of when you were at the casino in Connecticut? You know, and you picked Cleveland
Hey. I picked better than you, fucko, last time we were doing the
last
pick.
year?
So, and that's
Whoa,
with no skins in
hey,
the game. You're making it.
I
You're
did
trying
see
to make
something
it
today where they
personal. I'm
were
just stating
wrong.
facts on what you said.
The facts were in the plethora of things that I come across with the different conspiracy theories, whether it's Epstein or stuff I go back and forth with Brad. I saw a Super Bowl conspiracy, and the predetermined fix is 17-14 that the Patriots will have this epic lead, and all of a sudden, just like Seattle did the last time they played them, it'll go the other way, and Seattle will win this time.
They'll
Get
run the ball.
their win back.
Mark it right now. What's your prediction? 17-14 Seattle.
Yep.
Punch it in, fellas.
All right,
Buckaroo
phone it in.
Banzai.
Phone a friend.
Buddy,
I don't
Scotty,
give a
change
shit.
I saw a thing where
Yeah.
they were
Buddy, change your bet. Change your bet,
they were
Buddy.
shooting off the practicing shooting off the
The
fireworks, and
fireworks,
the
bro.
fireworks are like red, white, and
Yup.
blue.
I saw that.
The
They've been out
Pats were
week.
75-1, and Seattle was 60-1 to win the Super Bowl. So whoever bet there is cleaning up.
I'd
The
say
guy,
on
guy
FanDuel,
that
I did bet a plus 1,000 Pats in the Super Bowl like week 16. So,
the guy from Houston, that mattress, what's that guy's name? Mattress Mac or
yeah.
something? He just put a he put a big bet in, I think, for the Patriots.
Well, going
Well,
back to
I've
the
got
Kubiak
all
thing too,
my.
I feel like it's like Bill Parcells, where it's like his mind's on something else. He's got a job next year. He might not be. He might be a little too busy. Is that me? Am I getting too close?
No, never close enough. Never get
Little
closer.
closer,
Sorry.
Shaggy. Sorry.
Get
I want to make sure
closer.
you can see me.
No, we are.
We want to
Yeah.
make
Don't
sure that the
forget,
windows.
him and Ed were roommates, and that's the yin to the yang. Ed is in the
Hey,
background. Shaggy's
I'm
up
gonna tell you. Look, you're lucky as I use my fucking hands like I normally do.
there. Ed's way back, and the Shaggy's like way up in here.
Is
It
anybody
sounds about
bringing?
right. Sounds about right.
That's the
Is
Bridgewater
anybody
connection
getting
right
Ryan
there.
on
Ryan, Ryan, why don't you just sleep in a bathtub, will you?
game? Yeah, seriously.
Like a baby, Ed, like a baby.
I
Like a
want to see Ed
baby.
slide all the way in as close as he can. It would be hilarious.
Is
Thomas?
anybody putting money on the game?
No.
I do. I got money. Like I
Definitely
said,
no.
I like week 16. I went on FanDuel. It was like plus 1,000 for Pats. I'm like, if I throw like $10, I'm like, I'm a big spender, so I can win 100 bucks.
I put like $22 on it.
Yeah,
I put money,
I'm
but it
not.
wasn't on the game. It was on stats.
I don't
Have you
bet on
seen those anti-gambling commercials with the guy trying to take a dump, and they're trying to
things.
knock on the door and tell
No.
him that
The hell
like,
channel were you watching?
you haven't seen
Yeah.
that with the guy on the toilet and he's doing
Nope.
the bets and he keeps
You're
losing?
looking at
You haven't seen that?
I think
Did you
it's
have
conspiracy.
I'm like late night TV,
Did you have to
bro.
unscramble your TV for that? Pretty much.
You wake up.
Well, I got 600 on the Pats. I win almost 1,200.
Nice.
600. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope you're getting a 4.5 for that.
Big money.
Oof.
Got to spend money to make money.
No, no, I got money line. I'm doing the money line.
I'm just going to say this right now. 2017 Seahawks. That's the brain pick.
Ooh.
Ed. Oh, Ed. There you go, Ed. Ed, I'm proud of you.
Say it ain't so, Ed.
You're betting the
Ed's
brain.
Doing reverse psychology brain right now.
Can we get a sponsor like DraftKings on one of these other ones to sponsor this?
DraftKings? Yeah,
sure. Up there with Coke.
We need them to sponsor us. After I listen to all you guys' picks, we're sponsoring them.
Sponsoring us? I mean, DraftKings. I mean, come on now. DraftKings.
So another thing came out this weekend. Like last night, the Hall of Fame picks came out. What do you guys think? There was a couple. I actually like this class. Drew Brees, Luke Kuechly, who was one of my favorite players and unfortunately had to retire when he was like, what, 30 years old because of concussions. Adam Vinatieri, of course, and Roger Craig, who was one of my favorite running backs growing up.
Did you see the Roger Craig thing when how they told him?
Yes.
Yeah, right, Lot.
That was awesome. I hate the that Niners, awesome. But that was awesome.
And I don't know, did you guys see the how close the MVP vote was last night? Stafford and May, I think it was one first place vote.
One it's vote. Funny.
They're trying to figure out who it was, and now they decided that they're not going to release the voting like they usually do every year. They usually tell you who picked who. They're not going to do it this year.
Let's talk Drake, about
that. Drake May lost MVP to Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
So the Patriots took another L.
Yeah, it's going to be two L's this week.
And this is not y'all's season.
Voting.
Oh, I feel like a
Either
Cowboys
way, it's better
fan.
Better than the Cowboys.
I feel like a Cowboys fan. All those losses.
Yeah, kick the team with a losing record and no future. That's a good
in
one.
Dallas?
The rumor is that Jerry Jones is the one keeping Robert Kraft out of the Hall of Fame because he doesn't like him.
Ooh,
they're boys.
Jerry's got elite money, no, probably.
Jerry and RKK, they're boys.
That's not what I heard.
They're boys.
Is Jerry in the Epstein files?
Probably.
No chance. Gets his own women.
They had their own house down there in Texas they didn't have to go to an island.
That's right. Michael Irvin's the White House.
Yeah, the White House.
Don't stumble over that one too much there.
So I don't have a problem with Matthew Stafford. I think he had an awesome season.
Yeah,
I think on that end, I think everybody's just talking about the fact that Josh Allen got two, Herbert got one. And really, guys, what are you thinking? Those three people who are voting the other way.
Yeah.
I think the big thing is Belichick, Kraft not getting in first ballot. Kind of stupid. I think the whole voting, the way it is, stupid. Because, like, Roger Craig, I think, definitely deserves it.
Absolutely.
And when you've got just a handful of people and you've got, like, two people who will be gone, who really deserve to be on, it's not everybody's just – given a FU to Kraft and Belichick and all of that sort. I started to think maybe they're all just going to do this all at once. When Brady goes in, they're going to do Kraft, Brady, and Belichick.
And Gronk.
Do it all. Yeah. Well, Gronk's next year, right? I don't think Brady's next year.
Well, Gronk ain't going to be a first ballot, I'm sure.
They can't. If they take Gronk out, then that's just bullshit. You got to just blow off.
Who's more likable than Gronk?
Yes, likable. Don't mean fucking.
I think he's
in. I think they set the precedent now. Like, you don't let those guys in first vote. How the fuck you let him in first vote?
Jason Witten missed by like one vote, I guess.
See, that's
him,
wrong.
Him and Darren Woodson.
Wrong too.
So I'm thinking Gronk's in for sure.
But that's wrong. And Jason Witten was a hell of a tight end. Yeah. I mean, he was a bad dude, man. He was a hell of a tight end. Mm-hmm. And sit here and we can make comments about Brad and Ryan about being Cowboys fans and stuff like that, but like legit wise, no shenanigans. Jason Witten was a legit Hall of Fame tight end. And this whole thing with Kraft and Belichick, it's a bunch of bullshit. It's wrong. And the thing about it is, it's like, I don't understand why they have to have, oh, we can only have like six people in a year. Like, why? What's the problem?
Yeah.
Like, get the people that really deserve to be in. And the thing about it is that, but let's not let people in that are fringe Hall of Famers. Now, and I'm going to say this right now, is Eli Manning a Hall of Fame quarterback?
100%.
In 2 good years.
He beat the Patriots twice in a Super Bowl.
Those are 2 good years.
Best quarterback in Ole Miss history. Best quarterback in New York Giants history.
Put him in Phil Sims? Have you seen Phil Simms?
How many Super
Yeah.
Bowls Phil Simms have?
Two.
So does Eli Manning. Put him in the Hall of Fame.
Neither
Put him in the Hall of Fame.
one's in.
Eli's getting the.
But my point being is just like Robert Kraft, he
Put him in
negotiates.
the box.
So here's the thing. This is what I don't understand. That Robert Kraft negotiates for the league. He negotiates for the league. He goes and he negotiates the league contract with the networks, and he doesn't get in. Okay, Bill Belichick, 333 wins. He's not getting in. Okay, so to Gronk's point that he had the other day, I think he had it on Colin, or I think he had it on Jim Rome. I can't remember which. Okay, so Andy Reid doesn't get in. So like the thing about it is just like this doesn't make any sense. Just because you think that Belichick was an ass, I don't care if you. The thing about it is just like the media did. Like if you've so for myself. Shaggy, Ryan, Tom, Andy, and Scotty. Sorry, Brad. But like if you ever listened to the Boston media back in the day, oh my God. Like sometimes it's like, will you guys just knock it off? So he didn't give him anything. And he never gave anything to the media at all. But you're telling me that like you're gonna punish this man because and like we're gonna bring up Spygate and we're gonna bring up and if you listen to Jimmy Johnson was pissed. I mean pissed off. And the thing about it is just like, look, there's a reason why almost every single NFL team has people that have worked for the CIA and the FBI that work for them. Why? Because they can read lips. That's why the guys hold the thing over their mouth when they talk, because they hire people that can read lips. That's why. They match the voice next to the film so they can try to get an edge, because that's the type of stakes that it's in. That's a fact. There's a reason why. What's his face? The wide receiver that played for Cleveland, and then he came to play for the Patriots, and he had a marijuana problem. Like they try to sweep that under the rug, not once, not twice, but three times. And the reason why they cut him is because he ditched his tail on Thanksgiving. That's a fact.
You
You can
leave
read
Josh
that.
Gordon alone.
What's that, man?
You leave Josh Gordon alone.
Hey, nothing wrong. Hey, there's nothing wrong with the hippie lettuce. Okay, don't.
My question is, the other Hall of Fames don't have this where there's only so many people get in, right? If they got like a good year, they get a bunch of guys in, right? Or is it like they all do this?
No, I think they all do this, to be
Do they
honest.
all do that?
Yeah.
So I thought like baseball, they had like the like
Yeah, baseball might be the
Yeah, they
outlier.
had like a senior committee or something like that, where it's like, oh, let's get the old, like a separate committee, get the old guys in and stuff like that.
Well, I think that's the problem with the NFL is they've got a senior committee and your executives. So coaches, executives, and your old timers are
All
in that
together.
group. And they only let, I think, five of that group in.
Gotcha.
And so that's where the Roger Craig and what have you kind of fell in there.
So I think that should just be for the players anyways.
My question is, why is Bill pulling it on there? Why? That was why. Because he was the one that instigated the whole Deflategate shenanigans with the Indianapolis Colts. Because he was all annoyed because when he was a GM for the Bills, and then he went to the Indianapolis Colts. And like, so why is he doing that?
Also, all the change of the rules for the DBs because his receivers got hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last time I
You know,
like it's football, right? I guess my thing is I'm gonna toss this out to you guys. I hope that the referees let them play. I hope
yeah.
that I hope that it's not this ticky-tack shenanigans. I hope that it's not like the Rams Super Bowl against the Bengals where, you know, there's this like flag to basically change the game at the end to get who they want to win. And I'm going to tell you this right now, the thing that really annoys me the most is this whole virtual freaking measurement shenanigans. Like, really? I mean, at least you gave the element a little bit of truth when you actually brought the chains out on the field. This virtual freaking thing, not buying it. Not buying it. And then with all these referees with the headsets on, who's really making the call? Are you getting the call in from New York? It's just like the Tuck rule that made Andy like forget that gave up football for the rest of his life. Why did that call take so long? Why did that call take so
I love a game when there's no like when there's limited penalties. If you don't throw the flag. Let it play out, please, please.
Be a bystander, yeah.
They've been pretty good though. I have to say, these playoffs have been pretty good. Yeah. I haven't seen too many. I haven't, honestly, I can't think of a bullshit call.
I can.
Yeah.
I can. Like the Denver Buffalo game, the catch the
oh yeah. Yeah.
The interception. And then in another game it's
Yeah. Okay. All right. You got me there. Yeah.
Right. Two other games, it's a completion. Same play.
I mean, it's completely asinine. And the thing is, I love the sport. I love football. Like, I yeah. really do. I love it just as much as I love hockey. They're great sports. But it's just like, come on, guys. Like, and then I'm really concerned about this the halftime show that's going to happen. Like,
we concerned about.
I don't want a political message while I'm watching football. I just want somebody to get up on stage and like play like 15 minutes of music and get off the stage. That's all I care
about. They haven't done that in years. There's always political shit behind it.
So
you don't understand it. It's in Spanish.
How come they don't have another Janet Jackson incident? That'll keep everybody's attention.
Oh, there you go.
I missed that. I was drunk. I don't
you
remember.
Just get one, though. You don't get.
I think I was talking to Ed. That's when we found out we were having my son. I think I called Eddie. I missed the whole booby thing.
We might get one this year because I heard he's going to wear a dress.
Ooh, that goes into the tinfoil hat right there.
Ooh, segue.
Segue. Here we go.
And he's like, "Please get off of football."
Well, I want Mr. Branko to tell us about the Gavin McKenna incident.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
You know, it's kind of funny, Tom. You got the kid. He plays in the junior tournament. Played pretty good points wise. That game that they lost had some kind of like out of pocket penalties towards the end of the game, and post tournament, all of a sudden he's not the number one ranked guy anymore. He's kind of slipping down three to four spot. So he goes to Penn State. Apparently gets into a fight with somebody, breaks the guy's, knocks out three of his teeth, breaks his jaw, gets arrested, the whole nine yards. So they got all like these assault charges on him, and come to find out, I don't know if it's internet BS, but they were saying that it was when they had that. It was during that time where they had the outdoor game, so he was at this bar with his family, and there was a guy inside the bar heckling him, but he was there. I guess he was there with his parents. So the guy was like saying shit about his mother. So they end up kicking the guy out. And I guess the guy waited outside for him to come out. And when he came out, he had more stuff to say about his mother. So he ended up cracking him. So now all of a sudden, all the hate from playing subpar and supposedly being the number one pick in the draft, slipping downward, breaks the guy's jaw. Now everybody loves him. He's like boosted himself back up to number one because everybody thinks he has like this moxie or some NHL ready toughness. So it's kind of interesting. Now I want to see where he ends up landing. I'm kind of hoping that he slips so if the Hawks don't pick first, they have a shot at him.
And charges were dropped.
Yeah. Some of the I think it was just like the felony assault. I think he starts to go to court for some of the like the misdemeanors.
Yeah.
The thing that was screwed up, though, is they said that just by chance, he had gone to court and he was convicted. They were saying he might have to serve some jail time or something. But the problem would be if he did end up getting if he went to the NHL, say, next year and didn't stay playing in college, that he might have problems heading to Scotty's homeland, Scotty's country, I should say, because of having the assault charge, you might not be able to leave out of the country for the games in Canada.
So it's kind of funny. The only sport out there that where you get in a fight and you bust somebody's jaw, you actually move up on the draft ranks. It's hockey, right?
Beautiful.
What I did find interesting about this story was he's getting paid $700,000 a year to play there.
Yep.
And I'm wondering what the implications that's going to be for the OHL in the Canadian Hockey Leagues for those plus 18s or those who are drafted, because there's a fair amount there who you're basically, they're all going to go there, right? So it's going to be a big boom for American college hockey, which is cool. It's going to be great to see until
they're in. A lot of the prospects that
like Porter Matone, McKenna, a lot of them, Higgins. A lot of them are playing college hockey now.
And we're seeing that also with NCAA football, right? Yep. So people are going to want to stay because they're going to get better than the rookie contract. If I'm a star at Alabama or what have you, you're not going to have the 1 year, 2 years, and done.
I think the big difference, though, Scott, is with the hockey. So you figure Gavin McKenna is like coming into it as like overall first pick in the draft, and like on everybody's card until
guaranteed
tournament stuff. And he only got 700K, so everybody else has fallen well below that. And I think the rookie minimum is like 750K. So I don't think that really will affect it.
And all the other things that come with it, right? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So I saw a thing too, Ryan, when we were talking about, I think a couple of weeks ago, about hockey in the Sun Belt, D1 stuff. I guess there's a bunch of teams bidding right now with the NCAA to get approved for D1 hockey schools in the Sun Belt. So I think there's six or eight teams all throughout that.
Yeah, I guess I think Derek had mentioned a couple of weeks back, even like a lot of those SEC schools, they all have club hockey.
Yeah.
I guess they actually draw in-house attendance pretty good.
Hockey team.
So it's, I guess, to have a startup D1 program, you probably need about like $5 million worth of revenue or something like that just to get it off the ground, just because of all the different things they have to go forward. But
yeah, and they're tight about the size of the rink too that you're playing in too.
You can't
have a D1 school with a 10 seat arena or just benches around. They want to build around
the thing that is interesting though is like a lot of those schools, if they're allocating money, they could probably draw in a lot of these top Canadian prospects, maybe not even like top 10 prospects, but just get kids there that can play. And if they got a little bit of money to convince them to, like, you know, go somewhere down south or whatever, it's like, even if, like, you know, you got your BUs and you got your Michigans, you go to the games, they're not like, it's not like full sellouts. A lot of times there's always seats available for those games. You could go there and watch a game. So I don't even think it's really, so much a draw. It doesn't have any TV backing or anything like that. So I think it's all coming like from the schools. So pretty much if the schools are bringing in money, I think they might do it. It's just more of having the infrastructure to build the rinks and all that kind of thing.
Yeah. I know Ed's trying to jump in, but real quick on both two subjects. One, when the Gavin McKenna thing broke and everybody was like inflating the internet buzz for clickbait on it, like he's going away to jail and all this stuff.
Yeah,
the first thing I thought of is, if Danny Heatley got away with what he got away with what he did, this kid ain't, nothing's going to happen to this kid. But people don't remember that stuff. You know what I mean? It's like it's just all about the internet click stuff.
I want to know who he fought, because the kid's like, what, 6'2", 170 pounds? Like, who's he knocking out with one shot?
Right.
So he's knocking out 21-year-old who's never been touched before. He opens his mouth because he's never been punched in his life.
Probably shit face too, though, right?
Well, but I mean, guess what? When you're younger, you freaking know, like, oh, if I say something stupid, someone's going to punch me in the face. This kid probably lived in some town where it's like, no one's going to touch me.
Listen,
I'll say whatever the hell I want.
It's, when you roll with this crew, you can say as much outlandish stuff as you want. Nothing will happen.
Right. So call my mother a whore. Good. You're gonna get cracked. Fucking A.
What?
That's what he said. He called this drunk ass called his mother a whore, and then he wondered why he got his fucking jaw broken.
Mm. Right outside of Lupo's too.
Consequences have actions have consequences, right?
Ed, you wanted to jump in for that?
Yes, I do. I do, because the thing about it is that it really concerns me about college sports. Because, funny story, Florida State is now $400 million in debt.
Jesus.
Okay. They are $400 million in debt right now because of the stadium, NIL deals. This is getting to be a very slippery slope for college athletics. It's just like to kind of piggyback. I don't remember who said it, but like, think about this now. All these guys, like, they're going to be better. They're going to have better contracts in college than they are in the pros. And the thing about this, which is fine, if you get your degree in 4 years and then you go to college, you know, you go to college for 2 years and I haven't been to class in 2 years. You know,
Boy.
I've been getting other degrees. You know, and that's fine, but like these NIL deals were supposed to be name, image, and likeness. They were supposed to be getting checks for video games. Okay. They were supposed to be getting checks for jerseys. It's not supposed to be generational wealth. Like the thing about it is like, think about this. University of Alabama paid for the amount of money that they spent, $180,000 per college athlete. That's not just the football team. That's any Division I like athlete that they have for the amount of food and the technology and all the stuff that goes behind that to get these athletes to go out on the field or out on the ice or into the pool, out on the court. Like these are supposed to be college athletes, not supposed to be generational wealth. So at some point, the business model is going to fail, because the thing about it is already, like, think about this. We talk about this week after week. Wrestling is supposed to be for poor people, right? Well, NCAA football games were supposed to be for regular people and college students, right? NFL games, Major League Baseball, NHL hockey, they're not designed for regular people anymore. Like, you go to the game, okay, you buy two drinks, that's $60.
You watch it. You know, a lot of these kids that go to the big time schools, they can sign up to get tickets. They get them free. I mean, you might not get every single home game, but you probably get a good portion of them. And as part of your package, you watch, that's going to go away. And next thing you know, even if you go to the school, you're going to have to be dropping $100 a game or something to actually. The next, you won't have any of the actual kids that go to the school at the games. You'll just have people that buy tickets.
Just add to tuition. Just add to tuition. It's included.
Well,
Yeah.
they already do that in the SEC anyway.
Right.
So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I
I'm
mean,
wondering if with the NIL and hockey, because we had a local school around here that was D1 for hockey, and I think like last year or year before they went back down to D2, and like because they originally played like one of the local rinks around here, and then they since they're D1, they're like you guys can't play there. They had to play like the MassMutual where the AHL team plays. And
yeah.
I'm sure they weren't selling that thing out. And I think I'm wondering with the NIL, they're like, let's just go back to D2 because now they're playing back at the old rink and stuff like that, not dealing with it, D1 and stuff.
Well, they like Stonehill moved up to D1, and
Yeah.
they were playing out of like Bridgewater rink where
Yeah.
nice kids have played.
Yeah, but yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what
Brian,
AIC was. AIC was playing Olympia. Now they had to go to
they move out of
MassMutual.
there,
Now
Andy?
they're back
Well, no, they
they're
got
back at
that.
Olympia.
The reason why they were allowed to still play there was in lieu of building the rink, that so they have a certain amount of time to get the rink
Right.
done, and it's supposed to be either on campus or close to campus. That's part of their so they're there for
That's the
incidental.
smallest campus. Don't end up building that shit.
Yeah, so
What are
it's
they supposed to
that.
do for the Brockton MDC rink and play there?
No, fuck that, Ed. Hell no.
I mean, I'm just asking.
No. No, hell no. They would play an NCAA Division I game in that shithole? No way.
What's the one that's in like Raynham? Zapugas?
Oh, that's the one in Quincy. The
Oh,
Sepustis is the one that's the tetanus shot arena.
it's like a tin can.
Yeah. Oh
You're
yeah.
right next to the Brockton Fair. You're all good.
Yeah, that oh, it's terrible. That place
I'm a
stinks.
Whalen City Festival guy. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the rinks that you hit the plexiglass and you break your freaking shoulder because there's no give to it.
Thomas, are you ready?
I got.
You ready to move on to the world of weird with Bradford, aka William?
All righty.
William.
This week's episode of the Tinfoil Hat is brought to you by RC Custom Cards. Do you collect cards? Do you want something truly unique in your hands? RC Custom Cards turns ordinary cards into extraordinary custom designed trading cards created just for you. Whether you're celebrating a milestone, honoring a team or friend, or building a one-of-a-kind collection, RC Custom Cards crafts premium, personalized cards built to impress. Great quality, great design, and 100% custom. Made for collectors, fans, and anyone who wants something special. Are you ready to elevate your collection? Head to rccustomcards.com and see what you can create. Tell them you heard it on the 1973 podcast.
You heard?
You heard me?
I just realized this looks like a MAGA hat. It's not.
I
I
fell the
won
fourth.
bingo night at the school's bingo night, and this was my prize. Okay,
I thought you were banned from the school for bad Facebook posts.
They let me in for bingo night, and then I cleaned them out and won all the Camping World swag. So for tinfoil hat, I mean, I brought it up before we started recording it about just, you know, I feel like we got to talk about the Epstein files. It's nobody else is. It's not on any major news outlets. Like everybody's being blacklisted for even mentioning it. It's like people are afraid to talk about it. So a lot of conspiracy theory influencers are the ones carrying the story right now. All the mainstream like MAGA Republican influencers are completely ignoring it, acting like it wasn't released, and like the president's name isn't in the Epstein files at least 3,000 times. So anyway, that's what I'm talking about, the key points in it. I don't want to get into like every little nitpicking thing, because there's a lot, and it's a lot of sick shit. Pizzagate. You guys remember Pizzagate when they said like they found it like Hillary's emails and some other leaked emails from the government, from the White House, where all these like elite government officials were like ordering pizzas and here and there. And anyway, they equated ordering pizzas to ordering basically little children for their needs and to assault them and whatnot. So in the Epstein files, they referenced pizza like a couple thousand times. Like, it's a lot. It is a shit ton amount of grown men emailing each other about delicious pizza. It's weird. I love pizza. I don't talk about pizza that much with my friends. I'm like, hey, Ed, how's that pizza joint around the corner? He's like, yeah, it's pretty good. And that's basically the end of the conversation. But these are like grown men, millionaire elites, just having these really intense conversations about pizza. One of the emails are like, hey, man, that pizza was really yummy. Which brought up the Justin Bieber music video to the song Yummy, which stirred up a lot of Pizzagate conspiracies when it dropped, because he basically in that video blows the whistle on that pedo ring and that pizza being the code word for it. There's a Wayfair purchase in the Epstein emails for a piece of furniture for like $7,000 or $8,000. You guys remember the Wayfair conspiracy, right? Where basically pieces of furniture were named like Elizabeth, Amanda, Sarah, Kenny, and then it would be like one office chair for like $5,000. And it basically people were ordering children for off of Wayfair. That was the conspiracy. So that was brought up in the Epstein files. There's one email in particular that even Elon Musk has kind of called out. And it's an email to Jeffrey Epstein. The sender is redacted. And it's talking about how fun the young one was the night before. But people are like, how come in this whole release, all the emails from and to blocks are not redacted? There's certain parts of victims' names in the email bodies that were redacted, but the sender, the to and from sections were not. This one email, it is. So now people are speculating that might be Donald Trump sending some, you know, weird email to Epstein. And Elon Musk is even like, yo, who is that? Like, just release that name. Why is that one being redacted out of all the thousands that weren't? Why is that one blocked up? And then, crazy as shit, the night that Epstein died, one of the prison guards got on Reddit and basically started saying, hey, this movement, like sick call van pulls up and we use it to transport sick prisoners. And it pulled up and 10 p.m. some like weird hour. He's like, that's not protocol, we don't do that. And he started like blowing the whistle and essentially alluding to that Epstein was moved and not actually murdered. So anyway, that's been brought up again because his identity, I think, was released within this whole leak and everything. So that's really weird. And then there's a photo of this gray bearded individual in Tel Aviv walking around with armed guards and armed security. And no shit, it fucking looks like Epstein with long hair and a beard just wearing sunglasses. And there's already been a shit ton of conspiracy speculation that he wasn't, obviously, that he didn't kill himself or that he got out and they sent him to Israel and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And now somebody leaked a picture of him and it's like this whole like conspiracy gate thing just has blown up over the last couple of days. It's fucking wild. That's all I got.
Anybody
Not
want?
MAGA hat. It's not. It says
Yeah, there's I've seen all kinds of. Did you see the thing with is this financial guy? His last name is, I don't know if he goes by like Mr. Pena. He's pretty outlandish. He's like kind of
Dan
swears.
Pena.
And, what's his name?
Dan Pena.
Yeah. So he a while back he had kind of had this thing of like was talking about Bitcoin. And he was saying that if you really knew who the person was that was one of the founders of Bitcoin, you would drop it. And there's going to be a day where this is going to come out, and it's going to drop like a rocket, and everybody that has money in it's going to lose all their money. So now all of a sudden, that's through the files and stuff, they're trying to say that Epstein is actually one of the founders, and that's the guy that he was talking about the whole time. Where originally, I think the conspiracy was that it was that Putin had something to do with it, but it kind of rolled to saying that he's the one that kind of set that thing off. And I mean, I haven't paid attention to it much since I seen the thing, but I guess they say it's like already dropping like a rock just off of that.
It came back up though.
It did.
Yeah, well, it'll drop down, and then all the rich people will buy it all again, and
There
they'll get
you
it, and
go.
they'll double their money.
Tom, the ad?
Nothing to add. Staying out of this one. I don't want to end on any list, so somebody knocking on my door.
Ed, want to hop in?
I guess it's just one of those things where, are we are the elites really taking care of us, or are they just doing stuff to us to just hammer us? I guess that's my concern, but it is what it is. I go to work every day, so that's all I do. So I go to work every day and I work out. So, I try to make the world around me better to the people that I come in contact with, and that's all you can do. And if the elites want to roll that way, and they want to eat, in quotation fingers, pizza, that's on them. My life's exciting enough as it is. I don't need to have that type of excitement to do like devilish things. Just saying.
Scotty, got anything?
I'm just inspired by Ed. There, there is a point in time where we never talk politics, we never talk religion, right? And you just let that shit happen in the poll booth, and you just went on the way. However, I'll preface it that way. However, this is nonsense, and the elites will never watch out for your common man, and we're all common men, right? And
That's
so
for you, Scotty. Yeah,
we're not betting $600 a game there, homie.
Yeah, exactly, man. That's a lot of money to this guy.
Well, no, I started off with a $50 bet and I made it to 600 and I'm putting it
Dude makes a $600 bet and calls us all common folk.
what about it's 600 Canadian too, so
Oh, you cheap prick. There's only about $150.
you're actually going to tell me it's all in Bitcoin, Scott.
Yeah, put that all in perspective. It's insanity. Like the guy goes, his name is mentioned, I don't even know how many thousands of times. And he goes, oh, the release justified me. And then they say there's 3 million files that they will not release. 3 million files. And it's just there's nothing that can be trusted there. And it's in the US, it's also here. It's all probably every government, right? So can't think of it's just in any one particular place. And maybe it's because of information and media, we get like sucked up by all of this, right? And probably all this stuff was happening we never knew. And we just liked our sports and all of that sort, and we're much more simpler
Bread and
then.
circus, baby.
Yeah, but it's this idea, and they have this thing where, and it's hurting all of our mental health. That's scandal after scandal. Like they sent out pictures of the Obamas as monkeys today,
Bro.
right? And I'm like, he did that on purpose. He knew what that was. They like the White House feed or whatever Truth Social. They know what they were doing. They're trying to move the ball. I want you to pay attention for that because they know they're not going to get in trouble by that. They're going to, oh, we'll pull it down. But there's other shit that we don't want you to look at. So It's a nightmare. It's a freaking nightmare.
Shaggy, want to add anything?
I don't want to get anybody kidnapped, so I don't want to say anything.
The thing that I think screwed up too is, so they're sending all these emails, and what's up with like with these like elite rich people? Like, why are they sending emails like they're text messages?
Right?
Like who sends emails just to like to BS back and forth? Like, hey man, we had a great time tonight. I'm gonna start emailing you guys.
Untouchable people do. Untouchable people do.
But I think it's the timestamp. I don't think it's as current as you think it is.
It's the golden age of email.
Yeah, I guess so. Every time it's like I got all these emails and it's people just like shooting the shit going back and forth, like what the fuck?
I mean, you remember that movie You Got Mail? The whole premise of the movie was the dude waiting there to get an email. Like, bro, you got mail.
I thought that was funny, and the other thing I thought was hilarious that they were saying that Elon Musk was asking, like, hey man, can I come to the party? And they won't let him.
They wouldn't let him because he's autistic.
What's your wildest night?
And now he's trying to dog him out because he wasn't invited to that shit.
Yeah, I think he's just mad.
Now he's like, release him. Release the files.
Hey, I'll jump in a little bit on this one. I think this checks all the boxes for this segment of the show. How many times have we talked about the same things that kind of tie all together? The information age, everything's overblown. You get bombarded by stuff you never used to get bombarded by. We're smarter than our own good. We're late to the party with our age group because this is all stuff that's been going on forever. Guaranteed. It's been going on forever. Go all the way back to the Black Dahlia stuff. Before that, everything has been just hidden in plain sight. Everything. It's just we're coming into super sleuths now. People that are younger that are able to access this stuff. And then there's the what's true and what's not. What's AI now and what's not AI when you watch a video or whatever. So somewhere between Ed's point of, you still got to get up and go to work every day. You still got to provide in your own home. There's still a search for knowledge. If you're an intelligent person and you're looking to grow, you can't just watch Buckaroo Banzai type stuff anymore. The information age with things that you've always wanted to know about is there. Anything from, hey, years ago, in order to do your brakes, you had to go to a garage. Now you can go online, and if you want to attempt to do it, somebody will walk you through the steps. So somewhere between that and this extreme stuff of the Pizzagate and the stuff that's coming out about Epstein, there is we all grew up in pop culture 80s and things like that, and all these people that you put on a pedestal back then, they're probably not nice people behind or what they had to do to get to these, but you didn't know that because you saw People Magazine and Us Magazine and, you know, all these other things when Madonna was big or Cyndi Lauper was big. It was okay, but you don't know how they got there. They want to spin it was on their talent. Yeah, there's buses that drop off people in LA every day trying to make it big. What separates one from the other? Well, let's go to the casting couch. Then what's past the casting couch? Now you're a gate and you're the person that only allows people to get in because you owe somebody a favor. And it just deeper and deeper and deeper. And people with money, they don't have a regular day. Their regular day is boring to them. So it goes a little deeper and then a little deeper. So I just think that it's fascinating. If you grew up in a pop culture style 80s, late 70s, how heavy it was with just consumerism and all that stuff. All this stuff is so fascinating now to look at it and say, it's all BS. It's always been BS. And, you know, the Super Bowl is a great example of, hey, look over here. Look at all this. It's like the Roman Coliseum. Give them something. Give them bread and entertainment. And we'll do all this dubious stuff over here. Don't look at what we're doing. You know, just have this mass hysteria over here. And whether it's, I could never understand. And we're a country that loves to split people into two groups because they don't want people all together because it's divide and conquer. Right. So I think it's a great segment. We've tied in all this stuff, whether it's the Epstein files, the Vince McMahon stuff, you know, resets that have come around throughout history. It's just all fantastic to dive into with the fellas and, you know, just talk about it. And because it's popular to talk about, and not a, like Brad said, there's not a lot of people talking about it. So it's worthy of the tinfoil hat segment, Bradford. Do you want to tie anything together from what we always talk about to bring the Epstein thing into all the conspiracy theories?
No, I just, I thought this one was especially kind of heinous in the fact that people have tied Pizzagate and the Wayfair shit into it, man. Like, that is just kind of verifies those conspiracies, bro. It's the whole eating babies thing is, and I mean, we've talked about adrenochrome and stuff like that, and it's like this one is blowing the lid on a lot of some of the darkest, most heinous, most unbelievable conspiracies out there. And I'm just waiting for like Tim Tebow and like get his anti you know, child predator, child assault team to go after these people, because that's what he does now. He goes on the Sean Ryan show and talks about it, and like, where's Tim Tebow? Why isn't he commenting? Why isn't he going after these people and demanding justice? Like, everybody's silent.
Nobody wants praying for him.
Nobody wants to poke the bear and lose their position of fame, because that's what they're going to do. They're going to strike you down, and
well, I think
you're going to lose everything.
Their breath, I think that's what it comes down to.
You start doing too much poking around, your name ends up showing up on one of these. We talk about AI and all that. How easy is it to fake a fake email? Just throw some print, throw some little bit of blackout on there and be like, oh, look what it says about Brad on here, you know?
Yep.
Or you die of pneumonia.
I can guarantee
that's my. Go ahead.
Oh, I can guarantee the 1973 podcast is not on the Epstein list.
Can't get on any island, let alone that one.
Yeah. Only Epstein mom's list.
Yeah. But that's the other side of it, though, too, right? Do you believe anything? Like, the government's like, oh, yeah, we've been sitting on these emails for how long? How long has the Department of Justice had it? And now they're like, oh, here they are, but we redacted it. But you've had them. Why haven't you done anything? So I don't even know how believable the emails are. There's a picture in the release of Dan Bilzerian with Post Malone and two blacked out images. They covered up the women that were with him. Come to find out, that was a photo from his fucking Instagram page, and they just tried to throw him in with it.
Yeah,
like they didn't even do their diligence in picking the right photos to try and label people in this, man. So, like, do you believe everything the government says? No, absolutely not. So I don't know if I can even believe, because like Ryan said, like, how easy it is them with this fucking email, the way they're so giddy. Hey, that was a fun night, guy, and they're like sending this back and forth. How easy is it to fake that?
We, you know, we laugh at it or whatever. And, but, you know, the soft spot for me is the kids or animals, yep, or like-minded individuals. And this hits on, you know, on one of them. And I just think that if it's, you know, all true, that it's just terrible that stuff goes on and it's allowed to go on. But when you start peeling back the layers, it does all signs do point to go. So
I think they kicked in Scotty's windows.
Yeah,
seriously.
Yep. They went and got him.
Yep. Canadian rebels.
Here he comes. We didn't know if they came to get you, Scott.
Scott,
they were at the door. I wasn't sure. I didn't want the dog to lose his mind.
You didn't just get pizza delivered, did you?
They didn't bring the syrup, did they?
We caught. But isn't it insane that they said that they were, like, they blocked out the receiver and sender for those nonsense, right? And it's like they said, oh, no, we're only protecting the innocent. But literally, you got somebody who's talking about the young girl that was sent to them. And their name's blocked out, and then there's no comment on that.
Well, the thing that's wild is, like, anybody that's shown up on there or in any of those pictures or anything like that, it's like you're automatically, instantly, like, guilty, scumbag. But, like, say you live in that neighborhood and you got this elaborate rich guy that has all these freaking big parties at his house, and he's gonna take you on a boat and bring you to an island and all this crazy kind of shit. And you end up over there, somebody takes your picture, and now you're screwed just because you're in the picture.
Just because you went to party one night.
It's like, I was just looking for a good time, man.
Yep.
Just imagine if you're like a regular dude, right? And you live in that neighborhood and you see all these, you know, like in your regular neighborhood, you always have those one or two people that go overboard with the holiday stuff or whatever. And they always have massive amount of cars and big to do in the backyard or whatever. And you're like, oh, that's pretty good. I never get invited. Oh, you know, if you're one of those people, you know, the nosy people like me and the Phantom, no people like that, you know, how come I'm not getting invited? And then the one time you get invited, you're like, yeah, about time I get invited. And you go over there, like, almost like, yeah, I'm going to come over here and run for office. And you get there and all of a sudden it hits 12 o'clock and you're looking around and you're saying, what the hell is going on? Where the hell am I?
He's like, I brought my own baby party.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're like, I got the same rubber in my wallet since 1991, and I don't think it's going to work.
Andy brought the lube.
That's why when you send the thank you email, you're going to send it from John Boutte.
Those are the emails you send from work.
Big Boutte. Big Boutte.
Big Boutte.
Big Boutte.
Yeah.
Or John Smallberries.
I just pumped up my score up to 2.5. That part was actually pretty funny.
Nice.
Thomas, you're very silent right now.
I'm fading, dude. I'm tired.
All right. So I guess we'll wrap up this week's episode per the professor. So, Thomas, you're tired. You have the floor. Shout out.
Shout out to my niece, Taylor. Her birthday is coming up this week. Happy birthday. Can't call her a kid anymore. I'm getting old. She's in her 30s now.
Shaggy, shout out.
Yeah, I want to shout out one of my basketball players this week. Scored 1,000th point. Match up with his dad, who back in the day scored 1,000 points for the school across town. So that's pretty interesting this week. I was excited to see.
1,000 point household. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that. Scotty.
To my nephew, who had his had a little boy, Rowan Mark Ramos, this week, and big shout out Peterborough Pete's. They're actually letting me drop the puck again next week for our family day event, and pretty cool to be on the ice at an OHL event. So double shout out,
Scotty, that's awesome. You need to get the footage of that, and I'll add it to the beginning of the show.
Cool, we'll do.
All right, please do. Edwin, space.
I got nothing.
Wow, just like that. Brad, you got to follow that. You got
to. What a letdown. Shout out to Derek Hall, the linebacker.
I'm going to drop a puck.
Oh, now he has something to say. Brad, he's talking over you.
I know. Now, as soon as I start speaking, he has something to say.
I can't talk. I can't compete with that.
Shut up, Ed.
Nothing. Shut up, Brad. Be quiet.
The thing about it is, Ed, just the thing about it, you had a chance. You passed. Now it's the big dog's turn. So Derek Hall, I'm going to shout out Derek Hall. I've never met him, never seen him, but he's a linebacker who went to, he played for Gulfport High School. And now he's on the Seahawks. He was drafted in like 2023 or some shit. So hopefully we'll see him on TV on Sundays. Got like big news around town right now.
Phantom, what do you got?
Let me shout out Mom Duke. Turning perfect for this podcast. 73 years of age.
Attaboy.
Don't say nothing about my mama.
I'll just close it with saying 3 years in the books, fellas, it's been awesome just doing it with the guys, whether you've been on once, whether you've been on since the beginning. It's awesome to see everybody and talk about the serious stuff, talk about the fun stuff, talk about the stuff that nobody wants to watch and the stuff that everybody watches. And, you know, if you've watched one episode or you've watched every episode, that's thanks from the boys, and Year four next week. So let's go.
Let's go.